Good morning, church.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Agape Community Church. Welcome back to the family. And welcome back to Sunday morning service. This is an exciting service. Not 8:30, but 10:45. And I trust that most of you are awake. If your neighbor is sleeping and snoring, don't wake him up. Just tell him don't snore so loud. And but it's always good to be back in the house of God. I just feel so wonderful to be back here after being away for 2 weekends, preaching for different church camps. Thank you so much for praying. We had a tremendous 2 camps, and God did some wonderful things in some people, and this was one of my 2 best camps I ever preached in all of my life, seriously. You know, so thank you so much for your prayers. God is very good. Amen. Amen. Today, we also like to welcome a special guest with us, Pastor Philip Dees. I met him some years ago. This is my second time meeting him. He has never been to Agape before. He hails from Bossier City in Louisiana. Just across the river is Shreveport, Louisiana, where Irvin Rutherford stays. All right? And so this is one of those guys that has encountered not just God, but Irvin. And as always, we used to say, anyone that meets Irvin, you will probably come across this tagline, God loves you, or Jesus loves you, and Irvin has got a plan for your life. Always that way. He's married with 3 children, but just in between service, I was told he had already a 4th one. How does that work? Probably come and explain that later on. He pastors a church since 2013 called North Point Community Church in Bossier City, Louisiana. And God's been very good to him and to Destiny, his wife. I've not met his wife, but a few years ago, his brother-in-law and Philip, they were in KL, so I decided to drive up to meet them, brought them for dinner in a Japanese restaurant. How many of you like Japanese food? Oh, so many fans here. And I introduced him to wasabi. Not just wasabi, but wasabi ice cream. Oh my goodness. You know, it went up to his head, saturated his whole body, and since then he has been on fire for God. And this morning, we are just privileged to have him come. He is an energetic speaker. You will love him speak. He'll keep you awake. But open your heart and help me welcome Pastor Philip Dees. Bless you, my friend.
Wow, wow, wow. Hey, what a tremendous honor it is for me to be here, and what a tremendous honor it is for me to preach in this pulpit. I know that you are aware of this, but you are privileged to have one of the greatest pastors in the world leading this church. Come on, can you put your hands together for Pastor Benjamin? So grateful for this opportunity. Actually, my wife was supposed to be here with me, but she decided to have a baby 5 weeks ago. But I did bring a picture so you could see the family. We'll throw the picture up there on the screen. That is my tribe right there. My wife, Destiny, we just celebrated our 15-year anniversary. We've been married for 15 years. We've been together for almost 22 years. She is my best friend and the love of my life. And we have produced there now 4 children. We have 3 girls, and the 4th one is a boy. And that is my family right there. And you can see the joy on that little girl's face there. She is truly our song of joy. My oldest is 8, so I have an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, 2-year-old, and then the baby boy who is just almost turning 6 weeks old now. And my wife is actually, you can look at her, you can see that she is not Chinese, but she speaks fluent Mandarin. She went to university and learned to speak Mandarin. She spent over 2 years of her life in China. She is a lawyer by trade and training. She is a licensed lawyer. She has started three companies. One of those companies is import-export with China. So she has spent a lot of time in China. And I know what you're thinking right now. She's that pretty. She's a lawyer. She speaks Chinese. How did you get her? I know what you're thinking. And you know, people say, wow, she's so smart. And I say, but who is really smart? I convinced her to marry me. Ah, yeah. Hey, come on. Got some cheers from the section over there. I like that. I'm gonna come back over here. I got some amens over here on this side. But my wife, and not only that, she is a powerful preacher. She's actually preaching in our home church, North Point Community Church, where we have been for the last now 6 years. And whenever we actually merged with an existing church, there was a little over 100 members there in that church. And today we worship on Sunday mornings, almost 1,000 people on Sundays. God's really blessed our community and has continued to grow. And we've seen God do some great things. And I just want to feel at home here today. And back at North Point Community Church, my church, they don't call me pastor. They call me coach. They call me coach because I was an American football player, and I played at one of the best universities in America. And after I finished playing, I started coaching American football. And even as I have been in the ministry for the last 20 years, I have been coaching at a high school level there, one of the best high schools in the state of Louisiana. We've won 15 top championships there for the state of Louisiana, and I am a football coach. And when people come to our church, they always leave and they say, I feel like I was in the locker room. And we're running out of the locker room, going onto the field, and that's exactly the way that I want it to feel. So I just want to tell you today, welcome to the locker room. Come on, welcome to the locker room. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, welcome to the coach's locker room. Come on, tell him, welcome. You might have thought, no, we're renaming. It's not Agape Community Church. Today we are Team Agape, okay? You are Team Agape, and we're in the locker room, and I know that God has things in store for us today. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to go to this story in the Gospels, but I want you to know, I believe God has something for you today. It's not by coincidence that you are here. It's not by accident that you are here. No, it is by God's sovereign and divine plan that you are in this room, because God has a message that he wants to speak to you. God wants to touch you. He wants to empower you, encourage you, and equip you so that you can leave this place and be everything that he created you to be. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. The Bible says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land. For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, just like you would have been. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid. Instead, take courage. Because I am here." This morning I want to speak to you on the subject, take courage. Take courage. Let's pray. Father, I ask in the next few moments that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive everything that God has for us today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the room said, Amen. Well, let me just start by encouraging you to take notes today, whether you are taking notes with a pen and a pencil on paper or whether you're going to take notes in your phone. I want to encourage you to take notes because the better notes you take in church, the bigger mansion you get in heaven. It's just standard theology, okay? The better notes you take in church, the bigger your mansion will be in heaven. So I want you to take notes because I want you to have a big mansion in heaven. Hey, let's look at this story today, and let's start with the obvious. The obvious is this: following the right direction does not guarantee that there will not be opposition. Following the right direction. The disciples were following the right direction. Jesus is the one who told them himself, get into the boat and go to the other side. They were following the instructions of Jesus, but just because they were following the instruction did not mean there would not be opposition. You see, sometimes we feel like if I'm obeying, that it should be smooth sailing, but it just doesn't work out that way. Even when we are moving in the right direction, there will still be opposition, and we should not be surprised by that, because Jesus told us so himself. He said, in this world, come on, tell your neighbor, you're still in this world. Tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor, you are still in this world. Let them know if they woke up confused this morning, didn't know where they were, you are still in this world. And because you are in this world, Jesus said this, you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble, not it's possible for you to have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. So you do not need to be surprised by the trial, by the trouble, or by your opposition. So following Jesus does not mean that you won't have problems. Following Jesus just means that you won't have to face your problems alone. You are going to have problems, but you don't have to face them alone, because Jesus is with you, and because you are not alone, and because Jesus is with you, we can all take courage. I want to share with you four obstacles today that the disciples faced that I believe are going to really speak to us, because they're very familiar obstacles to each and every one of us. Either we have experienced these before, we are experiencing these things now, or we will experience them in the future. Four obstacles the disciples faced that are familiar to us. And the first is found in verse 23. It says, after sending them home, Jesus went up into the hills to pray, and night fell. The first obstacle is night fell. Night fell. I have to make a confession to you this morning, and it's a little bit of an embarrassing confession, but whenever I was young, I was not scared of the dark. I was terrified of the dark. I remember when I would be with my family, and we would pull up in our car, and we would park our car in the driveway, and our parents would tell us, you know, go into the house. I am the oldest of four children, and I would never, ever go into the house by myself first, because I was terrified of the dark. Instead, I would always make my little sister go first. And my thought was, if somebody's in there, they will grab her and I can get away. It's better her than it is me. And my logic was simple. My logic was, I don't know what's in there because I cannot see what's in there. And many times in our life, when we cannot see clearly and we are dealing with the unknown can create some unmatched fears. It can create some real fears in our lives. And I love the way that the Bible says here that night fell. Because that's exactly what it feels like so many times in our lives, when fear just falls. Fear falls. It overwhelms. It overtakes. And sometimes fear can be completely irrational. So you might want to ask me, well, Philip, did you ever get home and like there was a robber in your house, or did somebody break into your home in the middle of the night? Was there a reason or a cause for this fear of not wanting to walk into your house? No. Nobody had ever broken into my house. No stranger had ever been there. That had never happened. It was an irrational fear, but that fear would fall on me every single time we pulled up in our driveway. And yes, it was irrational, but yes, it was also very, very real. But I want you to hear me this morning. You don't have to fall whenever night falls. Whenever night falls in your life and fear falls in your life, you do not have to fall apart. Just because the sun went down doesn't mean that you have to go down with it. And sure, darkness can be difficult to navigate. There can be challenges in darkness. We all understand that. If you're walking in the woods at nighttime, it's a whole lot more challenging than walking through the woods during the day. Walking down the street at night with no light can be really challenging, and you have to navigate very carefully. Whereas if you walk in the day, you can see clearly, and it's that way in our lives as well. Sometimes whenever fear falls, there is a real challenge, but hear me, church, even though it might be challenging, it can be navigated. You don't have to bow down and surrender to your fear. Your life does not have to be governed by your fear. You do not have to be limited by your fear. Instead, you can navigate the darkness and you can navigate the fear in your life. Sure, fear might be confronting you, but fear does not have to be controlling you. Fear might be knocking on your door, but guess what? You don't have to let it in anymore, because the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but he has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. So whenever those fears come knocking on the door, you just say, no, I'm not interested in that anymore. I've got a new spirit on the inside of me. I'm not going to live with fear controlling me. Yes, you may be confronting me, but I don't have to let you in. I'm going to keep you at arm's distance. And although night falls, I refuse to fall with it. You see, you are not alone. This is the good news. You are not alone. God is with you. And not only is God with you, his spirit is on the inside of you, so that when night falls, we don't have to fall with it. Here's the second obstacle that the disciples face. And the Bible says in verse 24, this is after night has fell, so darkness is there. The Bible says that the disciples were in trouble far away from land. The second obstacle is they were far from land. They were far from land. And in the story, land represents safety and security. We could call it the comfort zone. They were far away from their comfort zone. And we could even say it like this. They were living in the uncomfortable zone. I want to tell you something for your life, and that is to get where you need to go, you cannot stay where you have always been. Hear me this morning. To get to where you need to go, you cannot stay where you have always been. Our journey should force us out of the familiar. Our journey with Jesus should push us out of our comfort, away from our safety and our security, because where God is calling us to go, we cannot get there by staying where we have always been. My little daughter that you saw there, who was 2 years old, looking so cute with her face in that picture. I should have known something was up a few months ago. I should have known. Whenever my wife asked me, she said, can you take Ella to daycare today? And it's not that unusual, but I don't take her to daycare every day. And on this day, being the amazing husband that I am, I said, absolutely, baby. I would love to take the kids to daycare today. But she knew something that I did not know. She knew that this day is something that we call transition day. And that's where the kids go from one classroom that they have been in for a year, and they transition into their new classroom. Well, you know what that will do for a two-year-old. And my wife knew what was going to happen, so my wife so kindly asked me, "Will you please take Ella to daycare?" Me blindly saying, "Yes, I would love to." I walk in like I had done many times before with my two-year-old in my arm, and I walk into the class and I open up the door and I say, "Hey, Miss Gabby, here's Ella." And she says, "Oh no, Ella is not in this class anymore. Today is transition day." And I said, "No, it's not." And she said, "Oh, yeah, no, her classroom is down the hall now." And I said, "No, it's not." Because I knew what was about to happen. And then me, being the good pastor that I am, I said, "Okay, Miss Gabby, God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah." And I start walking down the hallway, and my daughter is figuring out what's going on. And she starts grabbing on to the collar of my shirt. And she starts saying, no, daddy, take me back to my classroom. I'm saying, no, baby, we got to go. You have a new classroom and a new teacher. And she is holding on to my shirt. "No, daddy." And she's looking at this new teacher that she does not know and these new classmates that she has never seen before. And in that moment, she is panicking. Because you see, we all have two choices when we get into the transition. When we get away from our safety and our security and we get into the transition, we have two options. We can panic or we can persevere. And as my two-year-old was clinging to my shirt, she chose to hit the panic button. But she's two. You are 42. In transition, you do not have to hit the panic button. Instead, in the midst of transition, when you are far from land and far from the safety and security, instead of hitting the panic button, you can choose to persevere. Let me give you a quick definition of the word persevere, and I think this will kind of help make sense of it. And the word persevere, it actually means this: to maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty, obstacles, or discouragement, to continue steadfastly. Let me say that again. To maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty, obstacles, or discouragement, to continue steadfastly. You see, you can choose to persevere because you know your purpose. The disciples had a purpose, and that was to get to the other side. And Jesus has given each and every one of you a purpose as well. And he said in John 10:10, he said, "I have come that you might have life, that you might have it to the full, that you might have it in abundance until it overflows." Jesus did not come to earth just so one day you could get into heaven. Jesus also came to earth so that today he could get heaven into you. Jesus did not defeat death, hell, and the grave to sit back and watch life defeat you. No, my friends, Jesus came and he defeated death, hell, and the grave so that he could help you conquer whatever you are going through in life. But the only way you conquer the uncomfortable zone is when you know the purpose of why you are there. Purpose is I'm going to the other side. The purpose is God has a plan. The purpose is he's taking me to the next level. The purpose is he's growing and developing me. That is the purpose. And if I know my purpose, I can maintain my purpose in the face of adversity. I can maintain my purpose even when I'm disappointed and discouraged. I can maintain my purpose, and that lets me continue steadfastly. I don't give up in the uncomfortable zone. I don't quit in the uncomfortable zone. No, instead, I choose to persevere. I will not panic. Instead, I will persevere because I know God has a purpose for my life. You see, we don't have to hit the panic button like my 2-year-old daughter Ella did. No, instead, we can choose to persevere. See, this is what panic does. Panic, when we panic, it causes us to pause, to freeze. But perseverance causes us to push. Panic causes us to freeze and to get paralyzed. But whenever we choose to persevere, we push and we press on. Let me just break this down for you, and I think this will help each and every one of you as you deal with transition when you get far from land. Panic is my response according to what I see right now. Perseverance is my response according to what I see in the future. Watch this. Panic is my response to what I see right now in the moment. But perseverance is my response to what I see in the future. This is why everyone in this room needs a vision for their life. You need a vision for who you can be. You need a vision for what God is calling you to do. You need a vision for the impact that you can make. You need a vision for your future, because that's what allows you to persevere. Panic causes you to stop because you only see what's happening in the moment. And that's where my 2-year-old daughter was. And she was pulling on my collar screaming, "No, Daddy, no." She was only looking at the moment, but she's 2. That's all she can see. But friends, let me tell you, we should be seeing beyond the moment. We should see into the future, and we should see what God wants to do in us and through us. We should be able to see through the storm all the way to the other side and say, "I will reach that shore. I will get to that next level. I will be who God is calling me to be." So I've got a person. Persevere through this transition, persevere through this uncomfortable zone, because I've got a vision of what I can be in the future. So the Bible says this in James chapter 1. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." The testing of your faith. Don't you realize that your faith is not tested in your comfort zone? Whenever you are just so comfortable with life, and you're just comfortable with your security, and you're just comfortable with your identity, and comfortable with your role, and comfortable with what you've been doing in the church, and comfortable with your family, and you're just so comfortable, and you're not getting out there outside of the land, and you're just so comfortable, there's no testing of your faith when everything is just comfortable, and it's always been like this, and you just are so comfortable in this place. This is not where your faith is tested. Your faith is tested when you step away from land and you get out there in the transition zone of where you were and where God is calling you to be. And friends, can I tell you, what is on the other side is way better than what is behind you. See, this is what my daughter couldn't understand. Because in this classroom, the teachers were telling us, they said, "She's too advanced. She's highly verbal. She can talk. She's got too many words. The kids in this classroom, they can't even talk. She talks to them and they just stare at her because they don't know how to talk back." They said all of the games and the things, that she is too advanced for this. You see, she was going to have so much more fun in this classroom. She was going to be challenged. She was going to have conversations. The activities were going to be better. The learning was going to be better. The teacher was going to be better. It was going to be better for her over here, but she was comfortable over here, and she didn't want to go out, and she panicked in the moment because all she could see were her feelings and her emotions, and I'm scared and I don't want to go. But it was going to be better for her over here. And after 1 week, man, she was so happy. She was loving life. She loved her teacher. She loved her classmates. She loved going outside to play. She learned the lesson. She loved everything over here. But the only way you get here is if you leave there. And the only way you get to satisfaction and fulfillment and flourishing and thriving in the kingdom of God is when you leave where you've always been, so that you can have what God has in store for you. You got to get far away from land. And this is the testing of our faith. But it says it produces perseverance. And in verse 4 it says, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Oh, wait a minute. So if perseverance happens in the transition, if perseverance happens when I'm far from land, if that's where perseverance happens when my faith is tested, and it's perseverance that makes me mature and complete, what that means is when I'm over here in my comfort zone, it means that I am immature and I am incomplete. And I wonder why I'm not seeing the abundant life like Pastor Benjamin preaches. I wonder why I don't see the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I wonder why I'm not having the influence and making the impact that I really think I might could make. I wonder why these things are not happening in my life. And it's because I'm sitting in my comfort zone. And in my comfort zone, I am immature. And in my comfort zone, I am incomplete. It is only when we make up our mind that I will step away from where I have always been. I will enter into the scary phase of the transition. I will choose to persevere because I know in my perseverance, that's where I become mature and that's where I become complete. And it's only then can I be what God called me to be and do what God called me to do. I must be mature and I must be complete. But I've got good news for you, because this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, whenever I go away, he told his disciples, I will send the Comforter. And you see, whenever you step out of your comfort zone, you don't need to be afraid, because the Comforter is always with you. And the Comforter is so much better than your comfort zone. The Comforter can actually comfort you better than your comfort zone ever could. And the Comforter will be with you even in transition when you're far away from land. Friends, hear me this morning. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Come on, turn to your neighbor right now and tell him you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Come on, tell him in the locker room. You're in the locker room right now. Come on, you're coaching them. Come on, you're being assistant coach. You got to be an assistant coach today. I tell our church this all the time. You have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because it is when you are uncomfortable that you develop. It's when you are uncomfortable that you grow. It's when you are uncomfortable that you know God's doing something on the inside of you. So get comfortable being uncomfortable. Why? Because you will never arrive at your destiny while you are sitting in your security. You will never arrive at your destiny while you are sitting in your security. So get comfortable being uncomfortable, because the journey is always uncomfortable. Here's the third obstacle that we see that they face, and it's in verse 24. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far from land. They were far from land. They were in trouble far from land, for a strong wind had risen. Here's the third obstacle, is strong wind. It's what they faced, and it's what we face. And you know, wind creates resistance. Wind creates resistance, and that resistance is our opposition. And there are some things in your life today that are blowing, that are creating resistance. Yeah, you're trying to move forward. Yes, you're trying to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, you're trying to step into that abundant life. Yes, you're trying to step into that impact and that influence. Yeah, you are trying to move in that direction, but the problem is there is a wind of resistance that's trying to keep you from moving into that place. One of the winds that blow in our life is the wind of old habits. Old habits. You know, old habits. If you try to change your diet, you try to change your eating plan, and you know, if you're like me and you really like the sweets, right? You really like the desserts, and you might just have one dessert or two desserts or three desserts after every meal. You know, I mean, you just really like the desserts. You like the sweets, and you're trying to change your habits, and you're trying to reach for the fruit and the vegetable. But how many of you know the chindel is way better than the broccoli? Right? I mean, it's just way better. It's way better. But I'm trying to make a change, but there's resistance. Some of you say, well, I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to hit the gym. But you just keep hitting snooze. It's an old habit. You're trying to go to the gym, but you're hitting snooze. You're the person that's always talking and always giving your opinion, and people haven't even asked for your opinion, and you're still talking and still giving people your opinion, and you're trying to start a new habit that says, you know what, I'm just going to listen, and I'm not going to share my opinion unless people ask for it. And you've got this old habit of always talking. You want to get this new habit of always listening, but you see these habits are in conflict, and you're going to feel the resistance. It's not just old habits that create resistance. It's also old thinking that creates resistance. It creates resistance to new thinking. And you read your Bible and you read where I am more than a conqueror. And you say, yeah, I am more than a conqueror. Yeah, I'm more than a conqueror. But then you hear the words that your father had spoken to you all your years growing up. And it didn't sound like you were more than a conqueror. It sounded more like you are a mess up. It sounds more like you are a pain. It sounds more like you are dysfunctional. It sounds more like you're not good enough. It sounds more like you're never going to be good enough. And yet you are trying to read, I am more than a conqueror, but I've got this thought pattern that says, I am not good enough. I will never be good enough. I am not smart enough. I am not tough enough, because a parent or a teacher or another authority figure spoke this over your life and it created a thinking pattern. And so now you're trying to change your thinking to get in alignment with the Word of God. And you start flipping through the scriptures and you start reading, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you've been telling yourself for all of these years, I can't do that. I can't do this. I'm not talented enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I can't do that. I can't do this. And I've been thinking these things all of my life, but now I'm trying to change my thinking. I'm trying to change my patterns, but every time I start walking it out, I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I have a couple good weeks, and I'm feeling good about my life and good about myself. All of a sudden, the wind of resistance begins to blow. And I remember those things that people spoke over my life and the labels that people put on my life. And the old way of thinking starts coming back into my mind and old habits start trying to rise up. And I'm trying to get to the other side. I'm trying to be who God's called me to be. But the wind of resistance is always blowing. But what if we saw the resistance differently? What if you didn't see the resistance as something that was going to stop you, but something that was going to strengthen you? Well, what if you didn't see the wind that blows in your life as something that was going to stop you, but you saw it as something that was going to strengthen you? After all, there is a new workout program called resistance training. What if you decided that the wind that I feel is actually in my life to make me stronger? You've been telling yourself that it was trouble. What if you started telling yourself that it's training? What if you started telling yourself that I'm just having an opportunity to flex my faith? I'm just having an opportunity to strengthen my core. I'm just having an opportunity to get toned and to get fit for the race that God has called me to run and the fight that God has called me to fight. I'm just in training right now. This wind is not stopping me. This wind is strengthening me. This wind is not trouble. This wind is training. And without this wind, I could never be as strong as I needed to be to fulfill the will of God in my life. What if you changed it and you said, this is not going to stop me? No, this is going to strengthen me. You see, friends, if Jesus is with you, then your old self cannot stop you. Your old thinking and your old habits cannot stop you. It's not trouble, it's training. It's not going to stop you, it's going to strengthen you, because friends, you are going to the other side. Here's the last thing as we close in verse 24. It says the disciples were in trouble once again. They were far away from land. The strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. The fourth obstacle that they face and that we face is heavy waves. Heavy waves. And waves will rock your boat. But if you're not careful, the waves will get into your boat. And you know what happens when water gets into the boat. It starts weighing you down. And there is a constant potential wave in all of our lives called worry. And worry wants to rock your boat, but worry doesn't just want to rock your boat. Worry really wants to sink your boat. And if we could just take a time out right now and just be honest and put our Christian mask to the side just for a second and just be honest, have an honest conversation and say, you know what? There really is a lot of potential things that we could be worried about. Now, I know you can quote all of your scriptures, and I know that you know that worry is not a godly thing, and it's not a Christian characteristic. I know that you know that, but if we could just take a time out for a moment and just be honest about something, that there are many potential things that we could be worried about. If you have children, you just count your children, and that's how many worries you could potentially have. Well, you can worry about your kids. You can worry about your finances. You could worry about your future. You could worry about your city. You can worry about your country. You can worry about the state of the world. You can worry about your marriage. You can worry about people in your family. You can worry about the doctor's report that you just got back. You can worry about friends. You can worry about so many things. And here's the thing. It's not just one wave of worry. No, friends, it comes wave after wave. It's just like standing on the shore of the beach. It's not one wave a day. Whoopsh. 24 hours later. Whoopsh. No, it's wave after. Whoopsh. 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 And that's the way that waves come in our lives. It comes wave after wave after wave of potential things that we could be worried about. And I believe this is why the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, and he says, don't worry about anything. Do me a favor right now and say anything. Come on, do me a favor, say anything. Don't worry about anything. Anything, instead pray about everything. You see, you cannot allow yourself to worry about anything because one thing turns into some things, which turns into more things, and before you know it, you're worried about everything. And you're saying, but I was never a type of person that was worried. I've never been a person that has anxiety. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how I got here. I know exactly how you got there. You started worrying about one thing, and you felt like it was harmless. You felt like it was okay. You felt like, well, I'm not worried about so many things. I'm just worried about this one. I'm just worried about this one kid that I have, and I'm worried about some behavior in this kid. But here's the thing, worry never stays contained. Worry always grows. And so I'm worried about this kid. And then I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe this kid needs some special education. Maybe they need some special help. Maybe they need some special training. And I don't know if I have the finances to be able to take care. And so now I'm worried about my finances because I don't know if I have the finances to be able to give my help, give my kid the help that he needs. And then I start worrying about my future because now I'm having to spend extra finances on this. And I was trying to save for my future. Now I'm worried about my future because I'm not sure I'm going to have the finances. And now I'm not only worried about my future, I'm also worried about my kid's future because I'm not sure I have enough finances to take care of my kid. So what started me just worrying about my kid and his behavior now has me worried about my finances and worried about my future. And before I know it, worry after worry begins to get in the boat. And with every wave, the boat sinks a little bit and the boat tilts over. And it just makes it easier and easier and easier for the next waves to get in, but it never stops with worry because the enemy's not just trying to get you to worry. What he's trying to get you is he's trying to get you to a place of hopelessness and despair. It's not worry that really sinks your boat. It's the hopelessness and despair that sets in when you look at your boat and worry after worry has come in and you look at your life and all of a sudden you start feeling like there's nothing I can do. I could work as hard as I wanted to work to try to get this water out, and I start feeling hopeless, and I start feeling a sense of despair. And when you get hopeless and feel despair, the only place for you to go is down, and that's exactly where the enemy wants you, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I want our music team to come now. See, this is what worry is attempting to do in every one of our lives when we feel the waves of worry. Worry is attempting to stress you so that it can ultimately depress you. Worry comes, stress is not the ultimate goal of the enemy to bring worry in your life. No, it's not to stress you, it's to depress you. It's when you get to the place of hopelessness and despair and the worry has hit your boat and rocked your boat so many times that now hopeless and despair, and you begin to feel depressed, and the enemy begins to sink your life, and you lose all sense of peace, and you lose all sense of joy, and you lose all sense of purpose, and you lose all sense of faith. And you begin to feel yourself sinking in despair. That's the goal of the enemy when it comes to worry. But I want you to see something in the story. And that is that Jesus was standing on top of the same waves that were trying to take the disciples under. Jesus was standing on the waves. The same waves that were trying to overwhelm and overtake the disciples, Jesus is standing on top of them. Why? Because Jesus was not scared of the waves, and Jesus is not intimidated by your worries either. Jesus was not intimidated by the situation and the circumstances that the disciples found themselves in. And friend, it doesn't matter what your situation looks like. It doesn't matter what your circumstance looks like. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter the condition of your life today. Jesus is not intimidated by where you are, and you might feel like it's taking you under, but friends, Jesus has the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he's standing on top of what is trying to sink you, because he is a victorious Savior. But notice the disciples, they thought they were alone. Surprise. They thought it was over. They were finished. Not so fast. And they thought that they did not have a hope until the living hope showed up walking on the water. But I want you to see something about the story as we close. Jesus comes out and Jesus is walking on the water. There the disciples are in the boat. Scared to death, afraid that they are about to die. And Jesus comes out walking on the water. Now, Jesus is right there with them. Jesus was there. They didn't know it. They hadn't seen him. They hadn't felt him. They didn't know he was there. They thought it was over. They thought their situation was hopeless. They had no idea. But there Jesus was with his eye on them. He knew what they were going through. He knew what they were facing. He knew their storm. He knew their situation. And Jesus shows up. But watch this. Just because Jesus is in the situation does not mean that there's courage in the boat. This is where we miss it so many times, is we start quoting scriptures, and we start quoting scriptures that I have not been forsaken by God. We start quoting scriptures that say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he is with me. And we start quoting all of these scriptures knowing that he is with us. But watch this, friends. Just because he is with us does not mean that courage is in us. Here the living hope comes walking out on the water and they are terrified. And he says, don't be afraid. Why? Don't be afraid because the living hope is here. Friends, we wouldn't even have a hope if it wasn't for Jesus. We wouldn't even have a chance if it wasn't for Jesus. We wouldn't have access to what we have access to if it wasn't for Jesus. And there Jesus was. And he says, don't be afraid, but he gives them an instruction. He tells them, you take courage. I am here, but you have to grab a hold of courage and pull it down into the boat. You have to grab a hold of courage and pull it down into your heart. You have to grab a hold of courage and pull it down into your mind and pull it down into your spirit. It's up to you if you take courage. Jesus is with you, absolutely. You see, courage is always available, but just because it's available does not mean that it's going to be automatic. Courage doesn't just fall out of heaven and fall right into your boat. No, if you want courage in your boat, you got to reach up and grab a hold of the promises of God. You got to reach up and grab a hold of the Word of God. You got to reach up and grab a hold of the truth of God. You got to reach up and grab a hold of the courage that God has made available to you through Jesus Christ. You don't want to be in the storm and just go, well, there's Jesus out there. I know he's with me. Jesus is with you, but he has the same instruction for you that he had for the disciples. It's time for you to take courage. It's time for you to reach up and grab what is available for you and pull it down into your boat. Here's what I know this morning. There's some of you, and night has fallen in your life. And if you were honest, man, you would say, I am terrified right now. Oh, you're going through a trial and a challenge, and your husband just walked out on you, and things aren't going the way that you thought they were going to go. And man, you know what it is when the sun goes down and night falls and you feel overwhelmed right now in life. You see, this is what you have to do. You got to reach up today for your fear. You got to take courage. There's some of you that have stepped out of the safety and security, and right now you are in the transition. You're in the transition in your professional life. You're in transition. Maybe you just got married. Maybe you just had your first baby. Maybe you just had your third baby or your fourth baby, and you're just in a transition phase. Maybe you just moved to this town, and you're just in a transition phase. It was real comfortable where you came from. It was real comfortable back there, but now God is calling you out into something else, and now you find yourself out here. When you get into the uncomfortable zone, you need to reach up and take courage and pull it down into your heart. And maybe some of you today, you're on that journey to the abundant life, and you're quoting your scriptures, and I am more than a conqueror, and I can do all things through Christ, and all things are possible to him that believe, and you are quoting your scriptures, but you feel the wind of resistance beginning to blow, and some old attitudes start coming back, and some old temptations start coming back, and some old addictions are trying to come back, and some old thinking is trying to come back, and some old habits are trying to come back, and you're trying to get to the other side, but you just feel the resistance. You got to reach up and take a hold of courage and pull it down into your heart today. Some of you are being rocked by worry. Man, you're worried, and you're worried about what's happening with your health, and you're worried about what's happening with your spouse, and you just, things are off, and it's not the way it used to be, and you just feel the waves are rocking the boat, and worry is crashing into your boat. And in that moment when you look and you see the water in your boat and you start feeling that sense of hopelessness and despair of, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how I'm going to fix the situation. You just need to know that Jesus is with you, and because he's with you, you can reach up even in that moment, and you can grab a hold of the courage of heaven, and you can pull the courage of heaven down into your heart and say, I will take courage today. I'll take courage. It's not enough just to know Jesus is there on the water. I need courage for my situation. I need courage for my storm. I need courage for what I'm going through. And the same instruction that Jesus gave the disciples is the instruction that Jesus is giving us today. You take courage. It's available to you today. Today we're going to reach up and we're going to grab what belongs to us as children of God. What Jesus made possible, we're going to reach up and we're going to grab it today, and we're going to pull it down into our hearts. We're going to pull it down into our lives, and we're going to walk out of this place today, and we're going to walk out of this place full of the courage that God has for each and every one of us. I want you to stand. I want you to stand right now. I want you to stand. Bow your head. Close your eyes just for a moment. If you say, Philip, you are talking to me, night has fallen in my life. Fear has fallen in my life. Philip, you were talking to me. I've moved out of the safety and the security. I'm outside of my comfort zone. You say, Philip, you're talking to me. I'm trying to live that abundant life. I'm trying to be a follower of Jesus, but I feel the wind of resistance blowing in my life. Philip, you're talking to me. I know about those waves of worry crashing up against my boat, trying to get in my boat, trying to sink me in hopelessness and despair. You are talking to me today, but you say, Philip, I'm ready to take courage today. I'm ready to take courage. Courage is available, and I will take what is available today. I'm making that choice. I'm making that decision right there where you are. I want you to reach up to heaven, and I want you to grab that courage, and I want you to pull it down into your heart. Come on, just reach up high towards heaven. Pull that courage down into your heart. Come on, just keep reaching for it. Keep reaching for it. Keep pulling it down. Symbolically right now, just reach up, grab it, and pull it down. Go ahead and tell yourself, I'm accessing courage today. I take courage today. I'm reaching up and grabbing courage and pulling it down into my heart. I release that fear. I release that worry. I release that resistance right now, and I grab a hold of the courage that's in God, and I pull it down into my heart. Come on, can we worship the Lord right now? Can you sing? Can you lift up your voice as we take courage together?